afternoon. Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM radio. It's a good thing I picked a song that just doesn't get old to me. That's the Traveling Wilburys, End of the Line. Kind of a hard-to-find album these days because I think it's out of print, but it was like Roy Orbison and Tom Petty and Bob Dylan and George Harrison.
The ultimate supergroup,
yeah,
really.
You could
say, yeah.
Good song.
I was massive when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. I even built a, this is a tangent, but I built a Roy Orbison snowman in my backyard in his honor the year that Traveling Wilburys came out. And then, of course, Roy passed on. So,
yeah. Well, hi, Eric.
Hey. Good afternoon, Julie.
I haven't really introduced Eric. So Eric Ryder is the engineer of the show. The basically makes it all happen. I just kind of sit here and talk. So he's
you do the important stuff.
Well, I don't know about that. Otherwise, I'd just be sitting here talking to myself. So, so thank you so much for your work. And Eric is the voice chiming in at times in conversation, and also the one taking care of business across the table from me. So
the king of the tangents.
Yes. and then we have Deb over there, sitting silent in her soundproof booth, who's our call screener. So she refuses to talk on air, but if you want to talk to Deb, then give her a call.
All the more reason to call into the show.
Absolutely.
So you can hear the wonderful Deb.
Yeah. So we'll be giving out, I'll just give it out right now, number to call in today. We have a very interesting topic in the first segment, and then we have Rose Dedan as our guest today with Wild Kingdom Reiki and Shamanic Healing. And we will be talking with Rose after the first segment. I actually visited her with my dog Chewy yesterday and had quite a time. So we'll be talking about that a little bit and then talking to Rose about what she does and her book. And we'll be giving away a couple copies of signed copies of her book, Tales of a Healer, Animals, Reiki, and Shamanism. And so for two callers who call in today to ask a question or comment, we'll send you out a free signed book. So the number to call is 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So again, as always, listen to the advertisers. These are people who I would refer to family members and not just random ads. So use these ads on the show as a resource, both for dog-related services and products as well as non-dog-related. These are businesses that I personally endorse and recommend and would recommend to a friend or family member. So stay tuned in for the ads as well. Last week we had on Vicki Draper with Vimir is her company name, and we had a sort of a flood of callers at the end of the show. So I wanted to give out her information again if you didn't get a chance to catch that, if you were interested in ordering some of her mists or setting up an appointment for a massage, either animal or human. Her website is www.vimir, which is V as in Vicki, I M IERE.com. Vimir.com is her website. Her phone number is 425-785-4232. And our callers last week got a bottle of her Serene Mist. That is, if you did call in and you're listening today, those are actually going out tomorrow. So you'll get those, a little bit of a delay. So we've got some future guests lined up here that I am, as always, excited about. We actually don't have a show next week. We've got a very important softball game.
That's right. Ironically, the Huskies are knocking out the Dog Talk Show.
You know what? If it's going to be anything, you know, sports is fine, softball even better, and then if it's the Huskies, then go Dogs.
That's right. Go Dogs.
So there will be a softball game in our place next week. We will be back, as Eric said, triumphantly on May 6th with Kat Albrecht, the founder of Missing Pet Partnership. She is a former police officer turned pet detective and actually uses scent tracking bloodhounds to find lost pets. Amazing woman, wonderful story. We'll be talking about her book, giving away some signed copies of her book on the show as well. That'll be May 6th. Her book is Lost, The Lost Pet Chronicles, Adventures of a Canine Cop Turned Pet Detective. And then the week after that, May 13th, we are going to have Dr. Jessica Stone, author of a book called Doggy on Deck, Life at Sea with a Salty Dog. And this is a book all about pretty much everything you need to know if you have a dog aboard your boat and are cruising with your dog. So I'm excited to read her book, get to know her a little bit, and have her on the show as well. So that will be May 13th. Oh, those are the announcements.
One thing we'll have to ask is, are there hydrants at sea? Or do dogs use dinghies as substitute hydrants?
Pull up to a buoy.
That's right. Yeah, a buoy, not a dinghy.
Yeah, dinghy, that wouldn't be good.
No.
Urine-filled dinghy.
That's right. If your boat's going down, then it's insult to injury.
Yeah, really. okay, so I have, this is a topic that I am very excited about. It's just so interesting to me. So I'm going to try to relay the information as organized as I can. And I think it's a good segment to have on before Rose Dedan. There's a lot of, I guess, relatively new information about the evolution of dogs and how wolves actually turned into dogs. And for a while, people thought, as egocentric as our species can be, that we actually chose to produce and to create dogs from wolves. But it actually seems that wolves chose us.
Interesting.
Yes. So if you Google flight distance wolves dogs, you will come up with this information that I have. But I actually watched a documentary a couple months ago about this, which is where I was introduced to it. Dr. Raymond Coppinger of Hampshire College in Massachusetts, my home state, argues that there were more success that wolves were actually domesticated as a result of a behavioral characteristic called flight distance, which is basically flight distance is, animals with shorter flight distances will linger and feed when humans are close by. This behavioral trait would have been passed on to successive generations and amplified, creating animals that are increasingly more comfortable around humans. So imagine you have a wolf, and this is anywhere between 14,000 and 100,000 years ago. Now, really think about that. 14,000 years minimally, and potentially as long as 100,000 years ago that wolves started sort of turning into dogs and living with people. So the species have been living together for a long time. So imagine you've got a wolf who is, humans became a little more localized and, maybe had campfires that they hung around at for extended periods of time and had their garbage, which in those days was probably mostly just food, like carcasses.
Bones, yeah, probably.
Yep. And they would haul out their garbage, which was edible, to the outskirts of the campfire village. Mm-hmm. And so the wolves figured out that if they just hung around and waited, that
they'd get food.
Easy food.
Right.
The wolves with shorter flight distances were the wolves that could hang in there, maybe hidden behind something.
Uh-huh.
And then the humans walking out, they don't know where necessarily, especially at first, they're going to dump the garbage. And so let's say there's three wolves and one of them hangs on. And then once the person gets 50 feet away, they freak out and take off.
Right.
Then there's two left. And then once the person is 40 feet away, the second one takes off. And that one that can hang in there, and then the person's 30 feet away, and then they dump the carcass and leave, has first dibs on the food.
So the wolves that found us tolerable.
Exactly.
Are the ones
palatable.
That, yeah.
Who didn't lose their appetite when we got close. So now there's an advantage, a survival advantage to that, because then they have access to the food. So which increases survival, increases breeding. So you get these wolves who have shorter flight distances, which is a genetic trait, breeding with each other over generations, producing pups who have shorter flight distances, who get more and more used to people, who produce pups with shorter flight distances. And what they think is in about 10 generations, we have, you know, the result was something similar to today's dog, which is within one human lifetime. So interestingly enough, flight distance as a genetic trait has some other traits sort of attached to it, I guess, so to speak, which are all the things that make dogs dogs that wolves don't do, like barking, flopped over ears. Wolves have erect ears and broken coat, like a like if you picture a border collie coat that's like black and white patches or more like a cow. Wolves are more like a even coated speckle. So those are
less decorative.
Yeah. So in addition to the flight distance, were all of these traits that dogs exhibit that wolves don't. Barking, the floppy ears, and the broken coat.
Amazing.
Yeah. So imagine this ancestral human watching over one lifetime this species basically transform kind of right before their eyes. And you know, dogs have such a spiritual, historically such a spiritual place in society. There are corpses, you know, burial sites where dogs were buried with people and always facing each other, in some cases, paw in hand. So, you know, a very, you know, way, 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 way back, very important place in society. And so, you know, now we have these animals that, you know, dogs really are experts in human behavior.
Right.
And I think in a lot of cases and a lot of with a lot of clients that I come across, dogs are not given enough credit with how they can really naturally communicate with us and how we can really naturally communicate with them. Just with energy and body language and all that.
We've been hanging around together for long enough that you would think it would become second nature.
Anywhere between 14,000 and 100,000 years. That is a long time.
I think most of that time was spent developing the pug.
Yeah, really.
Because that's a lot of work going into that
a wolf. Oh, man. So it's from, I mean, it's really cool. And there's, you know, if you want to find out how they, you know, discovered the traits that were linked together and stuff like that, then you can research that. The doctor's name is Dr. Raymond Coppinger, C-O-P-P-I-N-G-E-R. And like I said, if you Google flight distance, wolves, dogs, then you will come across this really cool information. The point is that dogs get us. And if we are in touch too, we can get them. It's very intuitive. It's a very natural relationship between our two species, and it's really beautiful. And so, you know, and that I think is a good introduction to our guest. I would also like to just say before we go to our first break that I wanted to wish my 95-year-old Nana a happy belated birthday. She's actually listening today in Massachusetts.
Oh, wonderful.
So hi, Nana. If you want to call in and say hi, I'd love to have you call in. She's great. That number again for listeners is 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. We'll be back with Rose Dedan of Wild Kingdom Reiki and Shamanic Healing. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Urban Beast. Fresh, modern, fun. Seattle's destination for all your pet needs. Located in the South Lake Union neighborhood at 217 Yale Avenue North, directly across from the REI flagship store. Urban Beast features unique accessories such as toys, beds, collars, leashes, and more. They have a great assortment of healthy food and yummy treats for the pets you love. Open 7 days a week and offering free parking in the Alley 24 garage. Come see what the Beast is all about.
Camel
Family Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Coming April 27th, eBay's award-winning trainer Kevin Boyd returns to share how you can increase your eBay profits and grow your online business.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Armadillo Consignment is Seattle's only consignment store that uses an automatic markdown system. The longer it stays, the less you pay. Stocking only ready-to-use, value-priced, moderate to high-end furniture, clothing, and housewares, Armadillo Consignment has over 3,500 items in the store. Located in Seattle's Broadview neighborhood on the corner of 125th and Greenwood, Armadillo Consignment has great deals on quality, gently used items. Visit armadilloconsignment.com for more information. Armadillo Consignment, the longer it stays, the less you pay.
Click the shows page on 1150kknw.com for the scoop on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Careful what you wish for. I have my 95-year-old Nana on line one just calling to say hi. So we're going to say a quick hi to Nana. Hi, Nana.
Hi, Deb.
Oh, this is me, Mom.
Oh, hi, sweetie. Yeah, we're here. Do you want us to wait?
No, put Nana on.
Okay.
Nana?
Hi, honey.
Hi, Nana.
And I want to thank you for wishing me a happy birthday.
Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, I love you so.
Oh, I love you too.
I wish you were here. I'd give you a great big hug.
Well, I'll be there this summer.
Oh, yeah, I know, and I can't wait.
Good.
Good. Well, you're a very smart person, I'll tell you.
Oh, thank you, Nana.
I enjoyed your show.
Oh, good. Well, keep listening, because we've got
some... Okay, I love you, honey. Hold on.
All right. That was my Nana calling in to say hi. All right. Hi, Rose. Are you there?
Okay. We should have Rose back on now.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for waiting.
Oh, no problem. And hi to your Nana, too. She sounds so sweet.
Yes. just learned that the timing is interesting of my topic because it sounds like you wrote recently something related to that. So...
I've been working on an article series entitled Answering the Call of the Wild,
mm-hmm.
Which was actually sparked by an encounter with a wolf in the local Woodland Park, Seattle Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting you mentioned the concept of flight distance because it was one of the stories that I tell during that had involved that aspect. And it was like a direct communication from the wolf to myself that embarked me on this journey through this article series. And the third of the series today, which came out today,
mm-hmm.
Is called Pack Howl.
Mm-hmm.
And actually it has to do with my dog named Puma.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that our relationship to dogs reaches back much, much further if you flip it. In my research, you know, what I'm finding is that if we get the dog, so to speak, then we should also understand the wolf, which is becoming very clear that our society does not understand that we've lost our connection with the wild.
Mm.
And dog is a very important ambassador. From the perspective of an animal shaman and an animal communicator, the animals that share our homes, the dogs, the cats, or the animals that are ambassadors in places like zoos, are trying very hard to hold the bridge between our world of civilization and the wilderness, the wild.
Mm.
And that's why my practice, Wild Reiki and Shamanic Healing, the premise of it is building bridges between people and animals,
mm-hmm.
which I try to do through my writing.
Mm-hmm.
So in the process of my researching for this article and searching for the answer to the communication between the wolf and I, you might be interested to know there's a book out there called Brother Wolf, A Forgotten Promise.
Mm.
And Jim Brandenburg, the author, talks about his experiences on his property in Minnesota, which he shares with a pack of wolves.
Mm-hmm.
So he's had a great deal of opportunity as a photographer to observe them, and he's noticed the relationship between ravens and wolves, which is very much of a win-win situation for both.
Mm-hmm.
When wolves have a kill, raven shows up to share in the proceedings. And if raven finds an animal that's died first, which they aren't strong enough to open the carcass, shall we say,
mm-hmm.
they then alert by their calls. Wolf hears and knows and comes.
Mm.
And so Jim Brandenburg talks about the fact that in hunting, it's been, you know, demonstrated that there's kind of a symbiosis between wolf and man. And the tracking skills and the endurance skills of the wolf would fit very nicely with man's tool-using abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So any animal that, you know, we weren't able to take down that was injured, wolf was able to take down, and then everybody could share in the kill.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a real evolution. So I was fascinated by your talk about, you know, the flight distance, and also reminded when you talked about, you know, how quickly that trait can show up by reading something recently about the Russian breeding program where they were breeding foxes.
Foxes, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it was, what, 26 generations? They bred something that was as tame and cuddly as your, well, as most people's domestic cats.
Yeah. And with the foxes, their ears drooped and they started barking and their coats broke.
And they became like piebald.
Uh-huh.
Multicolored, yep.
Yeah. So, I know. It's I almost get like giddy and overwhelmed with how fascinated I am by this topic, and it would behoove me to get more information so that I can kind of tolerate the excitement over it, because it is just so interesting. And being such, you know, having such a connection with dogs too, I mean, it's just so charged for me as well,
mm-hmm.
personally. And it's, you know, it's interesting how, you know, when you talk about the, you know, bridging humans with, you know, from sort of civilization to more of an ancestral connection.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it impresses me how even just with, you know, with like I had a client a couple weeks ago with a smaller dog, you know, lived downtown, and I've encountered people who have this perspective, you know, regularly, I should say. And it's like I don't think dogs get enough credit with their level of awareness and ability to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, you know, I was really surprised because I had a groomer come who comes to the house, and, you know, she came once, and then, you know, she came a month later, and he remembered her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was like, yeah, yeah, of course he remembers her. It's, you know, dogs have this capacity to think in ways that we can relate to.
And it always amazes me that people are astounded by the fact, you know, when it's evidence that they think.
Mm-hmm.
I just automatically assume, because that's my experience in communicating with them, that right. that they think.
Yeah. And you know, the partnership, too, the dogs, you know, I think the flight distance seems like it was kind of the gateway into the connection between our two species and, you know, then creating dogs. But like you said, you know, one, they became garbage disposals and cleaned up our mess. They also became hunting partners. They became, you know, good guardians as far as alerting to other predators around mm-hmm. the villages and campfires, and, you know, eventually have become the, you know, members of the family who unconditionally love us. So it's just an interesting, you know, interesting evolution and a very powerful bond. And I think what I try to get my clients in the context of training and behavior is to understand that they can very naturally communicate with their dogs and to be aware of the nonverbal communication, the body language, the energy, the tone, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff, in addition to the actual words.
Right.
We tend to get kind of caught up in our brains with the verbal blah 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 blah, and then we're not really connected to, you know, how are we holding ourselves? You know, are we even present?
Yeah, my Peruvian teacher Don Manuel Quispe says, "Stay out of your head, proceed with your heart."
Yeah,
which, as far as I'm concerned, is the answer to most of the problems in this world.
Mm. And it's definitely saddens me to. When I think about the state of wolves as a species and how challenged they are, you know, mm-hmm. sharing this earth with us and how we definitely, I mean, you know, and like the big bad wolf and those stories, the three little pigs that just mm-hmm. make wolves out, I think, inaccurately to be these, you know, beasts that are just out for blood, and it's just so not true.
And much worse than that, making pigs out to be lousy architects.
Exactly.
Yeah, there are no documented evidence anywhere in the United States of a wolf attack on a healthy human being.
Yeah.
But in line with what you're talking about the plight of the wolves, as part of my shamanic practice, what I'm doing is I'm pairing up with the articles and where that's going, you know, building the bridge, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
With what's going on in actuality with the wolves, which is that, of course, on May 4th, their endangered species status, unless it's reversed, will be eliminated,
mm-hmm.
and then it's going to be open season on wolves,
mm-hmm.
Which right now in Yellowstone is a really bad thing because their population's already down.
Yeah.
So I'm combining my shamanic background, and I do what are called despacho ceremonies, which is a Peruvian shamanic ceremony for bringing balance and harmony for personal healing as well as for larger scale. So
mm-hmm.
I'm doing a despacho ceremony for the wolves here at my home office, which is open to the public. People can sign up online on my website.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Friday, May 15th.
Okay. Well, let's take a break, and we will be back with Rose Dedan of Wild Reiki and Shamanic Healing. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
When was the last time you caught your dog eating a stalk of wheat or corn? Evolved as carnivores, your dog is designed for protein in the form of fresh meat, not the grains that fill conventional pet foods. Bursting with fresh, free-run chicken and turkey, wild-caught fish, local fruits, vegetables, and botanicals, Origin mirrors the foods nature intended your dog to eat. Family-owned and operated since 1985, the Origin mission is clear. Biologically appropriate foods from fresh, never-frozen, regional ingredients. Origin Pet Foods, the diet nature intended.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays from noon to 1 p.m. We take your calls and ask your animal companions the things you most want to know from them. Talk about anything, even talk with deceased animals. If you love your animals and want to hear the wonderful and very often surprising things animals say, be sure to listen to Talk With Your Animals Wednesdays at noon, the show both you and your pets are going to love. Talk With Your Animals with me, Joy Turner.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or a food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's Dog Behavior Training and Nutrition Specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Are you suffering from neck pain, back pain, headaches, numbness, and tingling? At Favreau Chiropractic, you have the opportunity to experience healthcare's leading form of spinal rehabilitation that has been proven to relieve pain and permanently realign your spine. Located in Seattle's Madison Valley neighborhood, Favreau Chiropractic offers a comprehensive service that goes far beyond cracking your back. Visit www.favchiro.com or call 206-726-9595. That's FAVCHIRO.com. A different approach to chiropractic.
Get your dog to smile with treats good enough for people but specially made for dogs. Introducing Bit of Love, the treat that's made in the USA with USDA inspected meat. Without any artificial flavors, colors, or byproducts, it's guaranteed to make them smile. So the next time your four-legged family member comes walking through the doggy door after a hard day of chasing birds and digging holes, put a big smile on their face with some slow-roasted, mouth-watering Bit of Love dog treats. And don't forget to stop by bitoflove.com to learn more about our variety of flavors and get a $1 off coupon.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. We're here with Rose Dedan of Wild Reiki and Shamanic Healing. And we have a caller on line one. We have Bob in Massachusetts. So we're going to take that call. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm
good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was listening to your earlier segment, and I had a couple of thoughts that crossed my mind, and I'd like to just get your thoughts on them.
Great.
First, earlier I heard you talking about the woman you were talking to before, talking about how intelligent dogs are and so forth, and I remembered an article that I read in a National Geographic magazine about animal minds,
mm-hmm.
and if I could just read this short segment out of it. It's about a border collie named Betsy,
mm-hmm.
who she's a 6-year-old female.
Mm-hmm.
She can put names to objects on faster than a great ape.
Mm-hmm.
Her vocabulary is at 340 words and counting.
Uh-huh.
Her smarts showed up early. They say at 10 she could sit on command and was soon picking up on names of items and rushing to retrieve them.
Mm-hmm.
Ball, rope, paper, box, keys, and dozens more.
Mm-hmm.
She now knows more than 15 people by name, and in scientific tests, she's been proved skilled at linking photographs with the objects they represent.
Wow.
Pretty incredible little animal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that, Rose?
Well, as I think we said earlier in a private conversation, I often think that with border collies, you know, if we put clothes on them, they could pass.
Yeah.
They are smart, smart dogs.
Yeah. You know, the average dog, I've heard, the average dog has the capacity to learn 400 to 900 words. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think they're just underestimated, really.
Mm-hmm. And they do better at learning our language than we do learning theirs.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also saw a program on television about feral children.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of listening to your talk and wondering if the same kind of thing isn't going on with dogs and the evolution of dogs coming into our lives, that it kind of happens with these strange cases of children that have cropped up in various places around the world. One little Russian girl, I think in this century, or yeah, it must have been because I saw a film of her, she was rejected by her mother. And was basically raised by the family dogs. And she behaves and barks and runs and snarls and, you know, for all practical purposes, behaves completely like a dog. And following the film, the people were saying, the scientists running the program were saying that the mammalian brain or the human brain is at birth totally wide open to be programmed. And in this case, you know, the basic need for contact and touch draws the young person to whatever's around it. Mm-hmm. And in the case of dogs, I wonder if the same thing doesn't happen, where we often get them when they're puppies. And so they bond to us, and they try their darndest to learn who we are, and we the same back to them. And it's I wonder if that's not behind some of their extraordinary human-like, not even human-like, I guess similar abilities to what we have.
Well, and I would also say, you know, I wrote an article that I just recently posted on examiner.com, which I'm the dog training behavior and nutrition examiner for Seattle. So you can go to examiner.com to read that. And it was about this genetic evolution of, you know, wolves into dogs. And the question that came to my mind in the article as I was writing it is, you know, if dogs are sort of genetically programmed to understand us, I mean, how is that happening if humans have been living with dogs for, you know, anywhere between 14,000 and 100,000 years? How are dogs programmed into us?
Right.
You know, if you come from a family of dog lovers and you know, kind of carry that on, and then, you know, how just the it's interesting when that much time passes, there has to be some deeper level, you know, sort of identification that happens. So.
Well, that's definitely came across in the book I mentioned, Brother Wolf, because, you know, it talked about how basically we have become civilized, if you operate on the theoretical premise, we have become civilized on the basis of our partnership with wolves, which then became dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Because the partnership of the two for hunting enabled us to be able to survive, to place less emphasis on constantly hunting, because the hunts were more successful, enabling us to spend more time developing our culture and our society, and ultimately cultivating other domestic animals, settling down, you know, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think there's a very real premise of, you know, both sides have an effect upon the other.
Yeah, well, and then it's interesting as we were relieved of the time of hunting as a result of the partnership. So then if you imagine that we, you know, over time develop livestock, and then what do? Is we create herding breeds to help us manage the flocks of livestock, which then, you know, gives us more time to continue to develop, you know, like you said, to civilize.
Right.
So,
well, to devote time to things that aren't, you know, survival, you know, necessitated, art, culture.
Well, that sounds like a book that I need to pick up. Brother Wolf, A Forgotten Promise.
I believe it's out of print, but there are copies available on Amazon.
Okay, and what's the author's name, do you know?
Jim Brandenburg, Brandenburg. And he's not only a wonderful photographer, but I thought his writing was superb.
Okay, great. Well, Bob, thanks so much for your call.
Thanks, Bob.
Oh, you're very welcome. I hope you can hear me over my snoring big yellow golden retriever.
Yes, we can.
maybe she learned that from me. I don't know. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Okay, so so let's talk about my experience with Chewy yesterday and a little bit about that element of what you do, Rose. So I brought Chewy, my almost 12-year-old shepherd mix, to see you for a healing. Is that what you would call it?
A healing session.
Okay.
I call it just a session, but they kind of get a little funny sometimes in certain circles talking about healing.
Okay, well.
But that's all right. We'll call it healing.
Okay. So we went over for a session, and I brought my little Leia as well to just kind of be along for the ride. And Chewy's, you know, he's getting older, and he's my boy. He is, you know, I've had him since he was 4 months old. I got him when I was in college. He went through my 20s with me, and moved out here from New England, and you know, he's my soulmate for sure, and a very, very strong bond. And so I wanted to see what you know, what you could do for him, and also kind of get to know you a little bit and what you do. And it was amazing, his response to you and the shift that I witnessed and that others witnessed in him even later that day, that he was just, I don't know how to describe it really, but well, there was just a peace and ease present, more so than, you know, than normally, I guess. And it was just really, really great to be in the space of when you were working with him, to watch how receptive he was to you.
Well, he's very, Chewie's a very open-hearted dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that he's doing well. It was a pleasure working with him. The part of the session that I just loved was where I wanted to do some work on his tummy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in a relaxed, but, you know, that kind of sphinx position.
Yeah.
And I just said to him, you know, I pictured, you know, what I wanted. I said out loud what I wanted to do. Could I, you know, would it be okay if you went over on your side and so I could do some work on your tummy? And sent him an image of that, and he just laid right over.
Yeah.
Which I was just like, yeah.
I know.
It's so nice when... you know, when the communication is just really, he's receptive and, you know, clear, and it was great.
Mm-hmm. So he did. He sort of, you know, laid over and opened up his underside to you, and then you went down below, and then he sort of let out this big burp, and you were like, yep, that's why we wanted to go down there, give you a little bit of a release. Yeah, and then when he... You know, something that impressed me also was when Puma came out at the end and we were down at the bottom of the stairs.
Puma's my dog.
Puma is, yes. And he's how old is Puma?
The jury's out on that one. I thought he might be between 8 and 10 because he's a shelter dog with no previous history.
Mm-hmm.
But my vet thinks he might actually be older.
Okay, so he's a sort of a peer of Chewie.
Mm-hmm.
And Chewie's very vocal. He barks a lot. He talks a lot, and he gets a dog like Puma. To me, I would assume that Chewie would sort of just bark at him and, you know, tell him whatever he needs to tell him. And he didn't. You know, we were at the bottom of the stairs, and you said, "Oh, do you want to say hi to Puma?" And so you brought him out, and Puma was at the top of the stairs, and he's a big dog, and he, you know, looks over down at us, and Chewie looks up at him. And there was no sound. And I was just like, well, that is just nice. I mean, I think it was a combination. And like you said, Puma is a calm dog.
Mm-hmm.
And just the space that we were in and Chewie's state and all that kind of stuff just all added up to a very nice interaction between me and my dogs and Puma. And so.
Oh, I'm so glad you had a good time. And yes, Puma is a very calm dog. He's part of many of my classes, so he works with people. You could say in some ways that he's a therapy dog.
Mm-hmm.
When I work with people in sessions, because I don't discriminate, I also do sessions with people.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's present and has been very helpful to a number of clients.
Well, good. Well, we're going to take a break and come back with Rose Dedan of Wild Reiki and Shamanic Healing. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034. Or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
The Barking Lounge is Seattle's premier dog daycare and overnight boarding facility. With 24-hour supervision dedicated to the health and well-being of your pooch, it's no wonder why the Barking Lounge was voted best doggy daycare in Western Washington. New customers can mention this ad and receive a free temperament test and day of play care, a $44 value. Offer available for a limited time, valid for new customers only, and has no cash value.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 to 4 p.m.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM radio. And we are here with Rose Dedan with Wild Reiki and Shamanic Healing. Welcome back, Rose.
Thanks.
So we have a little less than 10 minutes left on the show. If you want to call in and receive a copy, a signed copy for free for of Rose's book, which is Tales of a Healer, Animals, Reiki, and Shamanism, we will get a copy of that book out to you. That number is 425-373-5527, 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. If you have a question for Rose or I, or just a comment about the show, give us a call. We have a book to give away. So Rose, the sessions, as we were just talking about, Chewy, how are these helpful for aging animals?
Well, one of the things that happens is, as everybody gets older, is that, you know, we get kind of knocked off balance because we have more than just a physical body. We also have an energetic and a spiritual body.
Mm-hmm.
And so things like energy work, whether it's Reiki or shamanism, help to reestablish that balance, which nourishes the physical tissues of the body, but mm-hmm. also promotes, you know, spiritual growth,
mm-hmm.
Which is true for people and animals.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of aging animals, it helps to reduce pain, stress. We tend to, because we live so closely together, animals and people, and animals are so heart open, mm-hmm. everything that we bring home with us, all of our stresses, they take not so much in, but energetically it affects them. It's not that they take it on for us, you know, like that hard time that we're having at work.
Mm-hmm.
It's the energy. It's just their energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so periodic, you know, energy sessions can be beneficial for all animals, not just aging ones. But so it helps to increase quality of life, mm-hmm. you know, and to the longer that we're, you know, in balance, the better our quality of life and the longer a life we may lead. Think of all those people, for example, in China who are 90 years old that you see doing Tai Chi, mm-hmm. for example.
Mm-hmm.
The same concept is true for animals, which is why I like to teach, which is why I teach classes in Reiki,
mm-hmm.
which is something, it's a modality that anyone can learn.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got one coming up May 8th and 9th
mm-hmm.
here in Seattle. But I like to teach people to be able to do Reiki both for themselves as well as for the benefit of their animals. Many of my students have taken Reiki classes because they have an elderly pet or, for example, a dachshund that's got back problems. You know, it mm-hmm. helps to, and they've reported, some of them have reported some amazing things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
Yeah, well, I look forward to taking your class, because I am signed up for that May 8th and 9th class as well. And if you want more information about Rose and her classes, her website is www.ReikiShamanic.com, and that is R-E-I-K-I-S-H-A-M-A-N-I-C, ReikiShamanic.com. And that, you know, you do private sessions in your home.
Well, in my home office, yes, but okay. I also, for anyone who's not local or, for example, who has a cat who prefers not to leave home,
mm-hmm.
I also do phone sessions. The type of work that I do can be done distance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an impediment for energy work.
Mm-hmm. And what is the number for them to use to contact you there?
206-933-7877.
Okay, great. 206-933-7877.
Yep, or they can email me at rose@ReikiShamanic.com.
That's great. And it was, you know, I was feeling really good after the session with Chewy, too, because I was there for it, and it was wonderful to also hear what you said about his guarding,
mm-hmm.
and that's his job as a guard,
mm-hmm.
which is very true. He's a appropriate guard, but that's, you know, he lets me know everything. If there's something going on outside, if there's someone outside, all that kind of stuff, he lets me know.
Mm-hmm. He feels it's his job to take care of you.
Yeah, and then, you know, how you were talking about how he, you know, what you were telling me about that, and it was just a nice time for me to witness that part of him and connect with that part of him, and just really, really a wonderful experience. So I very highly recommend, especially if you have an aging dog that you think would benefit from Rose's sessions, definitely do get in touch. Her email again is rose@ReikiShamanic.com. Phone number is 206-933-7877.
And there's lots of stories on the website, too.
Mm-hmm. And now you have some information about Kat Albrecht on your website?
Yes. I have the website has kind of evolved, mm-hmm. and I try to keep resources there that might be of benefit or of interest to people.
Mm-hmm.
And Kat Albrecht is listed under the resources section, where there's like animal shelters and rescue groups, because she does, you know, have some very important information for people on her website about lost pets. So I keep links there,
mm-hmm.
to important, you know, so people have one place that they can turn, you know, when they're in a panic.
Yeah.
And I also have actually Vicki Draper on my website as well, because I use her mist,
mm-hmm.
the Vimir mist, in my healing practice.
Mm-hmm.
But in addition, I have a section where there's, just for the fun of it, there's a section for inspirational people and animal videos,
mm-hmm.
Ones that make you think about either our relationship with the animal world or our place in this world, and also inspire us to reach for our dreams, because that's important too.
Mm. Now, there's a quote, I don't know if it was I don't think it was Gandhi, but I don't know who said it, but it was like, yeah, you can judge the measure of society by how they treat their animals.
Yes.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that just definitely resonates with me, because I think it is so important. And I've, you know, you've made some connections for me with how clear you are and how you've communicated that, the importance of that bond, mm-hmm. and how it definitely has been, I think, is struggling and needs...
We've lost our way as a people.
Mm-hmm.
It's why we bring animals into our households, why we bring plants into our households, why we bring fountains. We've lost our connection to the natural world.
And there's something you said when we were on one of the breaks, too, about how we've not only lost connection with animals, but also with ourselves as animals.
Yes. We have set aside important parts of ourselves, disconnected, and especially as a species, because mm-hmm. one of the things we set aside is community,
mm-hmm.
and family.
Mm-hmm.
And the more fragmented we become individually, the more fragmented we become as a society.
Well, thank you for the work that you do.
Thanks.
And it was wonderful to have you on the show, and I'm very much looking forward to your class, May 8th and 9th, and you said that they run about every 2 months.
Yes, that's correct.
And again, that website, www.ReikiShamanic.com, that's Reiki, R-E-I-K-I. And we were just talking with Rose Dedan of Wild Reiki and Shamanic Healing. So thanks so much for being on the show, Rose. I will talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you. It's been a real pleasure to be here.
All
right. Take care.
Thanks, you too. All righty. Well, we are wrapping up today's show. I like what you said, Eric, about the abundant sunshine coming our way.
I'm excited.
Good. So we will not be here next week, but tune in for the women's softball, the Huskies.
That's right. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
And then the following week, Go Dogs.
Again.
With the Dog Talk Show.
Yeah, we will be back with Kat Albrecht of Missing Pet Partnership. So everybody have a wonderful weekend.